This is a production of Cornell University.
Essay meeting, April 12th.
Clerk, please call the roll. Members of the silent council, clerk, please call the roll.
Oh.
You can do it from the minute. Probably. For a long time. Maybe not. Do you not have minutes?
Okay.
What team are you guys on?
You can just use these minutes from.
I agree. Waiting for the roll.
Okay.
Yeah. I got my mug root beer. That sounds rolling.
Excuse me. Unexcused.
Here.
She's
using
it.
Now on to open microphone. All right, how are you running? Maybe I should say quack. Lame duck, ex-vice president. Good to see you. My favorite meeting. Now it's time for the meeting. If any non-voting member of the ESA, which all of you in the Cornell community are considered as such, if you have anything you'd like to add that's not on our agenda today, we would invite you to come up and do so right now. Okay, thank you.
Okay, on to approval of the minutes. In your packets, you should have the minutes from the March 29th meeting. Amendments or addendums, please send the clerk. Is there a call for acclamation?
Call for acclamation.
Is there a second? Is there any dissent? All right, minutes are approved.
You're so good at it.
On to, which one of you had a report? Both of you? Oh, okay.
Sure.
Representative Budish.
Thank you.
Had a report.
So I just wanted to update everybody on Red Light. Two things. First of all, we talked with Simone, who made the great review site, and he's agreed to update it so that it includes landlord reviews and reviews of houses in Couchtown, so you can search by house number off campus, or you can search by landlord, and it'll give reviews of the housing. So that should be a way to kind of help people know the quality of their housing beforehand. And also, we were supposed to have a Red Light survey that we were going to pass around so you guys could look at it, but it wasn't made in time. So what we're trying to do is create a survey of the people who moved into Beta House and see what their status is and how they like Beta House so far, because that way we can get input and give it to the administration so they can change the future West Campus housing houses for the future. So because they will be voting more. So if anybody has any like comments, if that's a terrible idea, if that's a good idea, I'd like to know. And I'd also like to send out the survey over the listserv when we get it out. And if you could please all give comments back on it.
Vice President Boxer.
I just had a question.
Yeah.
I just had a question because I know that this is, I don't know if this is anything within the purview of your committee, but I know that a lot of freshmen this year, like all of the freshmen this year, were basically screwed out of West Campus housing. You could put that mic for a minute, that would be nice. But like, I know that all, like basically everyone who is guaranteed a bed, there were major needs or issues with that. And I was just wondering, I mean, I know that there's just like a lot of malcontent about that. I don't know if there's anything to please the class of 2010, but just like in the future, on the radar screen. I don't know if anyone has anything to say about that.
We can definitely look into that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's something that you heard anything about or.
Well, I actually have heard.
Well, I know that I told you about it, but I'm saying, if you heard anything about it from administrators.
No, I have heard about the problem, and we will look into if there's any way we can provide input or provide any help with that in the future.
Were there any other questions or comments? Okay. Representative Levin.
With the survey, is that the purpose of it is to sort of see how the that the housing system, the random housing, you know,
yeah,
how they're working, is that what you kind of analyze?
Yeah, because these students were previously living in
right,
the last or other
right.
But
is what Bader is not being treated like that yet, so it goes into effect next year.
But also just the I mean, it's more actually of a general housing survey. I mean, because they're building, you know, a bunch of these new house residence dorms on campus on West. So, you know, if we can somehow improve the quality of the future residents, that would be good.
Got it. And then, I know I heard that this year, hold it for a temporary state of the half of this year, and then next year, I get to do. And then it's just
and also, if anybody has any like suggestions on how we can get this survey out to all of the, I mean, we should just like, email it to over the list through the data set. But
residents, all people.
That's the best way.
Questions or comments? All right, thanks, Dan. As we have Representative Ehrlich with an announcement for a report.
So this is a little SAFC update. So we are currently starting the recruiting process of the Armadillo SAFC recruits for commissioners every semester. So if any turns out we're looking for reservation over this year in terms of seniors, and we're looking to increase our number of commissioners in general. So I think that we're looking to take about 15 commissioners this semester, give or take. So if anyone knows of anyone that is interested, please have them go to the MDS website and apply. They're due on Monday, I believe. And on that note, if anyone would like to, you know, FAC is all about transparency, and, you know, we want to make sure that our FAC knows what's going on. So if anyone would like to be part of the interview process or look at the applications on Monday after our regular meeting, the exec board and any other commissioners that would want to go over all of the applications to decide to get interviews. So if anyone, you know, as FAC members are all non-voting members of the FAC board, if anyone would like to come up to come and see that, they absolutely can. Likewise, our interviews are from 10 to 4 on the 21st, which is 10 to 2.
Discussion afterwards and so forth.
Yeah, so 10 to 4. Well, if you want to come to the interviews, you certainly can. They're next Saturday, they're going to be Golden Smith. So, about that. You're all free to come.
Are there any questions or comments? When on Monday was that?
Well, our meeting is really very in length. My guess would be 5:45 or 6.
But you can't get into Day Hall. You have to let Maddie know if you want to go because the Day Hall
off. Yeah, we'll come get you. But I mean, the meetings vary as per exit times, but that should be around then.
All right. Okay, I have an update on Resolution 30 and Resolution 40. If you all remember, Resolution 30 was about the Presidential Climate Commitment, and that was basically asking for representation as we move forward in honoring that commitment, representation for students. Resolution 40 asked that the administration establish a renewable energy fund starting in the fall semester. So I spoke to President Skorton and Vice President Murphy about that. Basically, it's way too late to actually establish a fund that will start in the fall. The trustees have already voted on tuition. All the materials have been sent out to accepted students. But what they can do is implement some sort of opt-in program where students can swipe their ID cards. So right now they're investigating what the best way is to establish some sort of fund. And I should be hearing back from them within a week or so. So that's the latest on that. If you guys have any questions about that, then email me. Okay, on to, or were there any other announcements or reports? Okay, on to business of the day. First, we have a Cornell Cinema. Oh, I'm sorry.
Can I motion to move Resolution 38 to business of the day?
Second. Does anyone dissent to moving Resolution 38 to business of the day? Okay. On to the Cornell Cinema discussion with the representatives from Cornell Cinema. Please come to the microphone.
Thank you.
Vice President Boston.
First of all, I just wanted to thank you guys so much for coming in and for coming to health sessions and stuff like that. I know that you're really on top of getting your budget together, and I also appreciate very much, I know that we spoke about this before, but that you guys put together that student advisory commission or whatever it is. I know that that was something that we were really concerned about, so I'm glad to see that you guys have taken an active interest in it and that it'll be meeting a lot more, and I think that that'll be something really important to include in your budget. We don't need to get into the specifics of, you know, breaking down numbers or anything right now. You can do that in your budget in next fall. But I was just kind of wondering, because I know that you had said at the beginning that you guys had, you started out really strong and you've been really bringing in like thousands of dollars. So I'm just kind of wondering, what are there new initiatives that are leading to this $1.50 increase, or are there just are more student groups applying to you guys for food sponsorship, or where, what exactly is
students have to pay anything and go to a movie for free. Like, they
you advertise in general?
We charge admission for most of the films we show.
Have you guys put on a movie for free ever? That's not a thing for you?
At the beginning of the year, we do, from Sunday through Thursday, at the beginning of the school year, the week before the start, we offer free movies to new students, and we'll actually be working with the Gilchrist Committee to offer a couple of new films on Thursday, August 23rd. And then we do three sneak previews during the year. This year we did four different films are free. And every once in a while we bring in there are other films. But for the most part, we're paying for the films to bring them in. We have some charge admission to help us cover our costs.
So for the most part, you're putting on films that aren't making enough money to be shown, we're subsidizing a failing thing.
No, that wouldn't be how I put it. I would say actually this year, as I said, it broke even this year. So, and the nature of what we're doing, there are some things that we show that make money, and there are some things that need to be subsidized. There are aspects of the program that we have both educational and merit to them, and that many of the participants have to be subsidized.
And why did you guys show Peter Vendetta in the first week of school when the student union board approached you about Peter Vendetta and they were going to show it on Movies on the Globe for free? You did it a week before they showed it, and we give them $5,000 in student activity fees to put that on, and it was kind of like you were jeopardizing for their attendance of putting the movie free a week before we put Peter Vendetta on. So why did you show Peter Vendetta free the weekend?
We worked with them on that, and the understanding we had with groups in general, and you'll find this in the student handbook, is that private films are shown on campus need to be coordinated with Cornell Cinema so that we're not duplicating efforts. And also the understanding that because Cornell Cinema has to pay for all the phone calls, that there needs to be this kind of coordination so that if it's something that we can potentially be showing that students would be interested in, it's not just undercut by another activity. So it's something that's all kind of written up in the student handbook. I'm confused by your question.
Speakers were not as inspired. Is there anyone else that wishes to speak?
Motion to accept the speaker's time for 1 minute.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Okay.
Well, the student activity, student assembly directly gives you money with the student activity fee, and you put on a movie that directly competed with another group that we gave money from the student activity fee. We gave that to the student union board, and it was under my understanding that the student union board approached you about the movie, in the summer.
Right, as I said, the understanding historically how it works is those groups need to contact Cornell Cinema to see whether we're already planning to do something so that they can then
So why didn't you tell them early in the summer, get into the
like that? We did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we did.
Speaker's time has expired again. Is there anyone else that wishes to speak for the first time? Okay, Vice President Boxer.
I wanted to ask you also, I'm sorry, I forgot. I wanted to get a little bit more specific into that student advisory commission or whatever that you've established that we kind of mandated you to do last time around. Just because in hearing you talk about going to Susan Murphy and stuff like that, that sounds to me like maybe you could explain the structure of it or how often it meets. Because, maybe that could be something where if you had an essay liaison on that committee or board or whatever, that would make it a lot easier.
There is?
Ahmed? No? Does that ring a bell? Ahmed Salem? No. Okay. Well, maybe you could just explain the structure of the committee or something, maybe that could be incorporated just in terms of trying to constructively think of things that you're planning on adding to your budget in terms of this whole Susan Murphy request. That might be a a helpful way to do that.
You want to know how the board is structured, you're wondering whether that's...
That could be a catalyst or, you know, a vehicle, I guess, for that request of the administration as opposed to just the general essay.
Okay. So as I said, this year, because it was a new endeavor, we were sort of trying to figure out what would be the best way to work with the student board. We didn't set up specific working committees, but it is something that we're planning to have in place for next year. And that's only a good suggestion to basically have some of the juniors devoted to working on that effort. So I can definitely, you know, add that to the working committee. This year it was more just large group meetings. We met a couple times each semester, and then we had kind of virtual meetings via email where I would send them, basically seek out input from them, send them lists of titles of movies that were available to us, and get their consent whether they thought we should show things, and then other general questions having to do with the best ways to do promotion, advertising, and their feedback on new initiatives that we could start, that kind of thing. So we'd have those exchanges via email, but then these formal meetings that would happen. And now we're thinking for next year that we'll be trying to do maybe probably 3 or 4 times each semester. And I'm sure we'll still be doing that meetings as well.
Speaker's list is now empty. Does anyone else wish to speak? All right, thanks a lot.
I just want to clarify a point. I'm actually remembering now a little bit more about this whole thing that I'm saying to spell this out. Basically, I was forgetting that, so we did let them know that we were planning to do that. And then in our discussions with them, we were saying that we would be showing to them, they were still interested in then showing them. So we said we would try to put all of our screenings kind of early on, and that they would still go ahead and do it. So that was their decision to do that, and we let them know that we were doing it, and they thought that would be, you know, that would be fine. So that was something that was all discussed.
Okay, well, thanks a lot for coming. Feel free to drop by anytime. Alright, on to the selection of the SA representative to the President's Climate Commitment Steering Committee. Now, this steering committee is being created because it was basically one of the steps in the President's Climate Commitment, which he signed, I guess, about a month ago now. So this committee will be deciding what institutional structures will be put into place to steer the university towards climate neutrality for the next 50 or so years. This would be a 2-year appointment, so it is a pretty big deal. So if anybody is interested, let me know right now. If you'd like to be the SA rep, you don't have to be on the student assembly next year to do this, but you would obviously have to provide frequent updates on the activities of the committee. So again, that's the President's Climate Commitment Steering Committee. I don't know. They don't have a meeting schedule or anything like that set up. But is anybody interested in doing that?
Austin's interested.
Austin?
We don't have to be on the SA.
You don't have to be on the SA next year. If there's only one person interested right now, then you get it automatically. Otherwise, we're going to do an election and executive session afterwards. Are you still interested?
Yeah, I think I'm interested.
Okay, so Austin, Danielle. Anybody else?
Rami? Oh, is he not here?
Oh. Rami, sure. Is he going to be at the meeting today?
No.
Okay. Anybody else interested?
No.
Are you? No. If you're, I mean, raise your hand. You can change your mind later.
All right, I'm interested.
Okay. So again, you can change your mind before we vote. Is anybody else interested? I want to give you enough opportunity. It's for 2 years. You know, ideally. But if there's a junior that's particularly interested and qualified, then we can work something out.
Can we move on? Like, yeah. everyone in your class want to be nominated for this.
Okay. On to an academic calendar discussion. Now, in your packets, you should have a copy of the proposed academic calendar for the next 4 or so years. I think it's the next 4. Next 5 years. The next 5 academic years. So, in our charter, basically it says that before the provost approves the calendar, then she has to provide us with a draft. and we can provide her with feedback. So if there's, I mean, I know this is on very short notice, but I actually just got this session. So if anybody has anything to say about it right now, then throw it out there and we can discuss it. Vice President Coons.
Yeah, I obviously have got to like go over this with a fine tooth comb, but I've always thought, and I don't know how many people would agree with this or not like it or whatever, the idea of possibly taking, it would only take a couple days off winter break and extending fall break or Thanksgiving break to be a full week. Because right now, it is like, it's a couple days. I think it would have given like 1 or 2 days. I don't know what it is in here. But,
not enough time to go back to
Texas. Yeah, not enough time to go back to the Southland for any of us so inclined. So yeah, just thinking about that, throwing that out there. If anybody has any dissent or et cetera, I would.
Which day, which break are you taking off?
I just, like winter break, because how long is winter break? A month and a half, 2 months, like, it's incredibly long. Figure if we're going to get that many days off anyway, we can redistribute, if you will, to get like some longer breaks before that. But just an idea, throwing it out there.
Vice President Slipper.
Cool. I think if we're going to reallocate the days for winter break, I think we should look at, and I brought this up before, and I really don't think, there are many arguments against it, but I think the university should begin looking at providing Labor Day off. We do have the world's number one industrial labor relations law, I think it's a little bit of a critical to make a class on Labor Day. So I think we should recommend that the university look at reallocating time in winter break for Labor Day off.
Does anyone else have any questions or comments about this right now? Representative Early.
I'd like to see
this. Representative Hartman.
If we found a way to end the school year a year, a week before, a week after, for convocation would be a lot nicer since it wouldn't end on Memorial Day. And for families coming up on Memorial Day weekend and trying to find a convocation speaker is just really hard. So if you were able to make the school year end a week before Memorial Day or a week after, it would be a lot nicer.
Representative Santana.
I would have to disagree because a lot of families would have gone on Memorial weekend, so they would have to be at their jobs and come up for graduation.
Yeah, good point. You're here.
Vice President Boxer.
I just want to say good luck to all of you getting this all passed. Moving on.
Representative Dana.
Nice to meet you.
The department is not taking the days from winter sessions. Is that we have courses going on through winter sessions? So has anyone actually looked into how long those, I think it's 3 weeks specified, the winter courses are. So how is that effective if you want to take that course?
And people get extensions.
Okay, well, Vice President Splickman is next on the speaker's list, and he's going to motion to end discussion. So, but he hasn't motioned yet. I want to say one last thing. First, we do have a great amount of influence in the academic calendar, so it is important if you have suggestions, just email them to me anytime within the next, ideally by tomorrow evening. All right, moving on to Resolution 38. What is this? Resolution regarding climate neutrality, Representative Peterson.
So that all the Ivy schools can be one in support.
Washington.
Representative Early.
Call for action.
Second. Hold on, there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, can we read it first?
Got it last night.
Do you rescind that motion?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
There's been a call for acclamation in the second. Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
Okay. Does anybody wish to be placed on the speaker list? Vice President Boxer.
Call the question.
Second.
There's been a call to the group's question in a second. Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
All right, all in favor of calling the previous question, please raise your hand. Aye. All opposed, please raise your hand. Please raise your hands and keep them up. Raise them when I say go. Go. Is your hand up?
I voted left.
Oh, all right.
Can we just talk about
it? Yeah, we don't do that.
That motion passes 12 yeses and 3 noes. All right. Do you have anything? Okay, do any members of the community wish to speak on this matter?
Yeah.
Okay. Clerk, please call the roll.
Yes.
Abstain. No.
Hartman. No.
Sorry.
Yes.
Jordan.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. She's going through the
list.
Will you please tally the votes? I didn't. Zero abstentions. Okay, by a vote of 12 yeses to 2 noes and 1 abstention, the resolution passes. Okay, on to unfinished business. First, we have Resolution 36, resolution regarding JFARC.
Yes.
resolution passes unanimously. Thanks. All right. On to Resolution 34, resolution regarding the 06-08 byline funding deadlines. Vice President Boxton, Representative Gay.
Wait, 41.
What?
Why did you say 34?
You get 41?
41. I thought I said
41. Are we not doing Resolution
34? I will do it right there.
So what this resolution is calling for is that the deadline be pushed back to May 25th, again, so that gives like extra time to hand in their budget. In addition to the fact that we'd actually be striking a different clause in the charter that reads that the current appropriations committee, as it stands right now in the charter, with this April 25th deadline, the current appropriations committee, so like my appropriations committee, is supposed to go over, just like kind of review all of the budgets that come in, specifically this is important for groups that are applying for the first time for byline funding, which doesn't really make sense because it will be Adam's appropriations committee that will actually be voting on the budgets that the final budgets in the fall. In addition to the fact that if we push the deadline back to May 25th, the current appropriations committee by and large will no longer be on campus to review these budgets. So I hope that was comprehensive enough. Basically, the bottom line is that I just want to push the deadline of filing funding packets back to May 25th and get rid of this chart, the clause that says that the current appropriations committee has to like check them, look them over before the end of the school year. Does anyone have any questions about that?
Speaker's list is now open. Oh, Vice President Coombs.
I just want to commend both Sarah and Adam for doing this. I think it shows courtesy and understanding to the groups that the deadline got they didn't get their stuff until a little bit later. The only reason that I couldn't put this on business today is because the charter change. Sorry about that, but thank you, Sam.
Vice President Slipper.
Just to clarify, they're giving this stuff to the Office of the Assemblies, correct? So you really don't have anything. It's okay that you're not, you'll be in senior week. It's understandable that the SA will be primary concern.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, the Vice President of Finance does not need to, sign off what the budgets are in or anything like that. My role is just in helping the groups get their budgets together, but, yeah.
So it's already...
I mean, I'll be on campus. As Vice President of Finance and as a senior, I will be on campus anyway.
But you're voting. You're other things going on, obviously. Okay. All right, then.
Representative.
Two quick questions. First of all, with the extra time that the appropriations committee had, getting it in April, what should they look for? Do they just look to make sure everybody hands in a packet, or if the department chief, do they
That's a really good question. Actually, in the past, traditionally, at least in the last couple of biennial cycles, the appropriations committee has not met at all to do this, like, for this meeting of the year check on budget. But in theory, my interpretation of what that clause is actually there for is to look at the new groups that are coming in, or that are applying for funding. There are always going to be new groups that are applying for funding, and to deem whether or not they're actually eligible for funding in general. Like, it's not looking at the actual dollar amount that they're applying for, but just whether or not they're eligible. But it really seems more appropriate that the appropriations committee that will be in place in the fall, which will be hearing all of the budgets that come in anyway, and the assembly for that matter of the fall, which is going to be the one allocating the money, is really the body that decides whether or not a group is eligible for funding as opposed to, you know, a bunch of outgoing seniors and stuff like that. Won't be as intricately involved with the budgeting process when it comes around next fall. Yes.
Also, just to make sure it's fair, what I'm going to do is make sure that after May 25th, when all the budgets are submitted, especially by the members, I'm going to be in touch with them over the summer, so we're not shortchanging them, and they're going to be surprised at the end of the year when they come back and say there's going to be asked questions. In the past, I would say if this was in the charter, that they had the opportunity to find out 4 months in advance that there were going to be certain questions about the eligibility. I want to make sure they still have that opportunity to work through the entire summer. We have no dialogue in those months, and they realize that how they're going to be taking a look at this.
And they'll have to submit a budget anyway. So either way, they will have to do all of the work to submit a budget together, regardless of whether or not it's actually going to be
Thank you very much. That was a good idea about the emailing over the summer. So I feel like you guys are really thoughtful about it.
The speaker's list is now empty. Does anyone else wish to speak?
Can I just ask a question?
What does that
mean? I don't need to know how many I'm planning on voting next week, but I would just like it that I need to, since this is like in 2 weeks, or the current deadline is so soon, and I am in touch with all of you just almost every day now. So is anyone, like, does anyone have, like, serious reservations about this? Just in general, like, any negative feelings about it?
Okay, thanks. All right. On to Resolution 31. Resolution regarding proposals adopted by the Student Assembly. I am the sole sponsor.
Mr. Thomason, you have 15 minutes.
Agenda items that he or she doesn't agree with for totally unobjective reasons.
Representative Santana.
I was just wondering who would be like the balance check, because if someone felt that, or someone, if the president didn't agree that it should be on the agenda, but someone really felt it was an important issue, like who's going to regulate that?
Not in here, but there's some provisions for overruling the chair. I wouldn't have a problem adding something if we say, a majority of the assembly or something like that, or maybe even less. I mean, because I really understand, the concerns about somebody abusing that power. So, I'll be willing to add something in there that said, with this standard of voting, we can overrule the decision of the president.
Thank you.
Representative Levin.
Yeah, I was just going to ask sort of a similar question. I wasn't sure how that necessarily works. So, for example, theoretically, a representative submits to the EVP and it's, a resolution, and then you see it, you can just, delete it,
I take out the resolution anyway before, we consider it. That's a really good question, actually. Really, you guys have been emailing your resolutions to Mark, but he's been sharing all of them with me. So he's not the only one you're submitting it to here. You're sort of submitting it to us. That's what you're emailing to.
And I understand what you're doing. You're sort of addressing the issue that happened last year. The confusion, there was a lot of, should we be discussing this, should we not be? But the only thing is, the first therefore resolve, I feel like, moves in a different direction than the second one. I feel like the first one makes it more flexible and open to the entire assembly, but then number 10 of bylaw 4.2.1 makes sort of, but you have the power to, the president has the power to narrow the agenda. If you know what I mean? I don't know. I'm not sure if those two are consistent with each other.
This really isn't an anticipation of, and maybe we should make these considerations, but I wouldn't anticipate the president was just going to want to kick agenda items off at will. This is sort of to have someone who you can say, this person has to say, okay, for example, the resolution last year, we had this in place, we could have said, well, the president said it's okay, basically.
Okay.
But when you put in that situation, that Maddie's concerns, become even more salient. So I definitely understand.
So maybe what you have to be trying to do, and I think it's, concern. Maybe what you can do is, I'm not going to propose an amendment, I don't even know if I can right now, but something like maybe you have the power of the motion to decide whether or not we should be hearing this and then vote on it that way. Maybe you have you're the one with that power at that moment.
The motion table motion table.
Oh, I guess you would just table it definitely?
Yeah.
But what I'm talking about, maybe the president has the power to let some vote and the representatives all decide on a vote whether or not we should be hearings
in that, whether it should be stressed. Well, there's already an amendment in place for that, and that's what this just initial time. Okay. The table indefinitely.
And anybody can motion for that, or is that
true? Yeah, anybody can make that motion.
So, okay. I think that does the job.
Well, what does it? I mean, okay. I see what you're saying. Max, now you use some of your time to speak a little bit more.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Sure.
So this definitely does shift the power a little bit. Well, not even shift, it creates new power. It creates a new power for the president. Every representative would still have that power to table indefinitely. Basically, if a resolution was controversial, say somebody brought it up. This is for situations where, the president or somebody speaking to the president feels that the
speaker's time has expired. Okay, is there any dissent?
This is just for situations where the president feels that the assembly is really stepping beyond this to provide a mechanism to, stamp it out right there.
Representative Budish.
Oh, it's fine.
VP Bonser.
Yeah, I really did want to reiterate what Maddie said, and I understand what you're doing with this resolution, but I think that the first the first change is like great, but I think that the 10th Amendment or whatever it is, the final judgment one, doesn't really work. I mean, because we do have a lot of resolutions that are just like controversial amongst us. You know what I mean? Like there are a lot of things that come up that get really contentious, but they can be about things that are, you know, are minute in comparison to, you know, issues that will get everyone on campus riled up. Like we always have a lot of contentious issues. So I'm just concerned about in any way, you know, limiting anything from coming up just because it's not even a question in my mind of like something like what Maddie was talking about where it can be a really, really extreme situation, which we don't really have them that often as extreme as they were last year, but you know, like it really the wording or I guess the sentiment behind the second being is therefore resolved is just a little bit concerning to me just because we have a lot of things that tend to be contentious or divisive among assembly members. So I would be concerned that it's just not articulated, you know, well enough, like what kinds of things cross that line and how or why, you know, how they could be decided on.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I know that this is kind of like, you seem completely open to amending or working on it or whatever, but that's really kind of my concern with that second DSA for itself.
Representative Basil?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of off of Representative Boxer's remarks. I think I remember back in the fall when we were talking about this issue, one thing that came up was differentiating whether the resolution was directly affecting Cornell students in particular, and there's a lot of gray area about what things sort of can be said to directly affect Cornell students. And, you know, for example, someone mentioned gays in the military that possibly affected Cornell students. And that if there was any way, I guess, to change the wording to reflect that sort of gray zone, where it's, you know, as Professor Boxer was saying, that there are things that are contentious, but if they're firmly about Cornell issues,
okay, so two things. One, when I was writing this, I kind of had in mind the fact that we voted down the resolution earlier this year that limited the assembly's power. Basically, we voted to keep it open, to basically be able to bring any kind of resolutions we wanted forward. Now, on the topic of limiting the president's power, I definitely understand that. And that is something that needs to be done. That's something I would work with. But I think that, and anybody can feel free to comment on this, I think that if you had a standard voting set at a majority of the student assembly members, then that would work out perfectly, because if you can't even get a majority of the assembly members to say, we want to hear this, then that resolution would likely never pass. So that's something else to think about. And that's something I like to go ahead, so.
VP Greenberg.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I think the only time when the SA president is actually going to be able to, you know, make a judgment like this without the entire assembly kind of coming down on him is going to be the same time when the assembly itself is willing to say maybe we should table this indefinitely. So I think that the only time when he's actually going to have that moral authority is going to be when the assembly members aren't going to want to talk about it to begin with. Being somebody who's going to be affected by this resolution next year, I don't think this is something that the SA president should have in his responsibility.
Kwame, you're the speaker's list.
Oh, no, I already said one.
Okay. The first speaker's list is now empty. Anybody who's not spoken would like to? Okay. Second speaker's list, Representative Santana.
I just like to also comment that this gives the president the power to take something off the agenda before the assembly. See it so that if this is allowed, the whole table indefinitely wouldn't really be able to be put into force. So I think with the option to table indefinitely, it just makes this extra role redundant and needless.
V.D. Greenberg.
The first part of this resolution, I think, makes a lot of sense. The second part, though, would be a further resolve. If we strike that part of the resolution, I think that this will be pretty agreeable to most people here. So I don't know if there's a way that we can make that kind of revision now. I know we can't make amendments.
Yeah. No, you can just, like, this is discussion, you can recommend it, and then you can bring that forward in the final.
So I'm going to recommend that you strike the second part, and then we just consider the first part of this resolution.
All right. Is there anybody who has not spoken with Mike and Spade? All right. Thank you, Brian.
Motion.
All right. So right now we're going to vote on the steering committee position that I mentioned earlier. So we're going to go into executive session. All non-voting members except Austin of the assembly. Please leave the room. Thank you for coming.
Everybody who's going to be on the assembly can stay?
All non-voting members of the assembly. Please leave the room. Don't go into executive session. But thank you for coming.
Open it up to just someone who happens to be in the audience and not the rest of the panel. I know. So, like, what's he say? I mean, he's running. He knew about it. He's here.
I have a question. Has there been any, announcing that the position is open to students of the general body? Because if there's someone who's interested and a lot more highly qualified, you just have the opportunity to also run for this position.
Well, I was going to email the trustees about this. The problem is that I found out about this less than a week ago, and they need to know by tomorrow who it's going to be. So I had very short notice to. It doesn't have to be someone from the assembly. It just has to be someone representing the assembly. It makes it difficult because it's a 2-year appointment.
Are we at this point? We're still recording. Are we officially in executive session?
Yeah, we're in executive session.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.